And so it's kind of like we go to the restaurant that we like the best. And I just want to tell you, my conviction as a pastor is that God has called you guys here to the center of Watertown. There is a calling on this church to a people that probably no one else would take care of. And the enemy has tried to destroy you. He's tried to destroy your faith in God. He's tried to destroy your faith in one another. And it's because it's effective. You're changing lives. And when I stepped down about a year and a half ago, turned the church over to my son-in-law, one of the things a mistake I made with the first church that I pioneered was I allowed people to follow a personality. I have a personality. Ain't I fun? Amen? And so, and I allowed people to like that and to lean into that. And so when I went to start another church, because I wasn't there, their calling was to my personality, it caused the church a lot of problems. I want to tell you, your call is not necessarily to your pastor, although you've got a great pastor, and you should appreciate the depth of Brother Jeff, because not everybody can pastor this church. It takes a certain type of guy. But there's going to be days ahead when possibly your pastor is going to be gone more and more, and another man's going to come in, and there's going to be a transition, there's going to be an adjustment. And I want you to remember the call of God that's on this church, because God will make you better. It's a lot like a marriage. The things that you go through, that you decide you'll go through together because you honestly love. Love is not a feeling. Love is not a convenience. Love is not a bright, shiny day. Love is much deeper than that, the love of God. And so I want to exhort this church to love one another, to love the call of God, to embrace it, to pray about it, because God is going to take this church, I believe, through transition. I have no idea what's going on. I'm not talking about anything that I know. I just sense it in the Holy Spirit that you need to prepare your hearts for that. Amen? You know, you get married, you have no idea when you say, you stand in front of a preacher and you're absolutely in love with this girl and she's absolutely in love with you, and you think nothing could ever bang you, and you say, and for better or for worse, and for richer and poorer, and you get everything on the menu. Amen? So today, can anybody tell me what I preached last time I was here? What's that? The little guy knows, he's speaking in tongues. I preached about the sacred oneness that Paul said to guard the sacred oneness. And today I want to talk about abiding in Jesus. Can anybody tell me where in the Bible where that is? John 15. There you go. And so I ask that because abiding in Jesus, you should. This scripture is almost wore out. They come at it so many different ways. And it's in John 15. It's after they had communion, after Judas had went to betray Jesus, and so they're on a walk from the upper room, and they're going to the Garden of Gethsemane, and possibly even as they enter into the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus stopped, and he begins to speak this story to them, and speaks this parable to them. Very possibly what he did is because in the land of Jerusalem, grapevines are not foreign to them. It's kind of like the corn we see right now that we're just so used to every year, the corn coming up around here. It was a crop, it was a plant that was very prevalent in Jesus's culture. And also in the culture and in the mindset of God talking to us. God uses grapes and he uses the vine as an illustration. In fact, prophetically, he speaks about Israel as being a vine that had turned wild, that just went its own way. And so Jesus addresses that. In fact, the symbol of Israel is a vine. So, you know, the Lord, he's a little bit smarter than you and I. Have you noticed that? We can't get our head around Him. In fact, when we look at creation, it says in Psalm 19 that the whole earth is filled with the glory of God, that God's fingerprints is on everything. It speaks to everybody every day, day after day after day. God declares His righteousness. Night after night after night, He declares His glory and His majesty. And I think all of us have probably at some point maybe stood under a bright winter day with the stars all over the place, and you just look as far as you can see. And I remember one of the nights that I gave my life to the Lord, there was two really impactful moments, and one of them was under the stars. I'd never heard an English language at all from the stars, but the Bible says they were speaking to me. They were speaking to me about the glory of God. And so I say all that because the Holy Spirit has put things in the Bible to try to help you understand this journey that you're with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He is working with you. Are you working with Him? Sometimes we fumble around in life because we don't understand what God is trying to do, but He is doing things constantly. And we get it wrong, saints. I know you've heard this from me because I've been here. We blame the devil sometimes for the dealings of the Holy Spirit. I am not the property of the devil. I am the property of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I've been purchased with a great price. I am in Christ. I am hidden in Christ. As my pastor Larkin used to say, sometimes the Lord just uses our enemy as an errand boy just to get our attention. But He has no more power. So Father, right now I pray for this congregation. I pray for every mind in this place. And I bind the enemy. I shut his mouth. I stop his thoughts, Lord. And I pray right now that You would give us a moment, Lord, in Your presence. And You would feed us and teach us today by Your word. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. So, my topic this morning is tending your garden. Tending your garden. Because the point in John chapter 15 is Jesus stops as is on His way to Gethsemane, and he takes a grape in his hand. He takes a grapevine in his hand, and He begins to speak to them, and He says this: I am the real thing. I am the true vine. So we go all the way back to the very beginning. You know, God has spoken to us in a lot of different ways. He speaks to us. He calls us sheep. He calls us fields. He calls us dirt. He calls us a lot of things. He talks about being soil. But one of the first things He did is He put the man where? In a garden. The first illustration, the centerpiece, if you will, of the Bible, where it all started was in a garden. And it says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 8, it says, the Lord God planted a garden eastward of Eden, and there He put the man whom He had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. And a tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was in the garden. So the first scene that mankind faces where Adam and Eve is in a garden. Then He says in verse 15, He says, and the Lord took the man and put him into the midst of the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. To dress it and to keep it. I don't know if you are gardeners here. I was a rebellious gardener as a young man. My mom would tell me to go out and weed the garden. I hated weeding the garden. I hate the bugs, all that kind. But as I got older, I've appreciated more and more things. But what the Holy Spirit is saying is, you are a garden. You know, if the Holy Spirit somehow could come down and give you a picture of what you look like if you're an apple tree. What do you look like if you're an olive tree? What would you look like if you're a field? How you actually look, the reality of what you really are. He can actually point to you, sister, and He'll tell you exactly what's going on. So the Holy Spirit right now is trying to bring a picture to you. You are the garden of the Lord, and you've been commanded by the Lord to tend that garden. How's your garden look? Are there weeds everywhere? Is there broken down branches? Has there been any pruning? Can God even say anything to you? You know, I've pastored easy people and I've pastored hard people. I pastored people that I don't have to say a word to them because they love the Lord and they are yielded and they hear the word and they're willing to receive from the Holy Spirit in their life all kinds of correction. Then I've had other people that argue about everything. And they're Christians. Which are you? Do you argue with the Holy Spirit? You can argue with me if you want. But, you know, I'm going to stop arguing with you because eventually you're going to have to argue with the Holy Spirit. And you ain't going to win. He'll wait you out. He's the hound of heaven. He'll keep allowing things to work in your life to bring you back and back and back in your life. Aren't you glad that you're not alone, that God hasn't left you to be a garden all by yourself? You know, when my mom sent me out to the garden, it was because it was neglected. I mean, I remember one time there was weeds up here. That was back in the day when they didn't have roller tillers. Okay? I was the roller tiller. And I would just go through and I would pull the weeds up from the tops and break them off, but they weren't dealt with. And so God would send me back. So the Lord right now is bringing us to the garden picture of our life. And He's asking you, did you know that you're my garden? Did you know that my Father is at work in your life to make you produce fruit? Did you know He's going to cut you? He's going to trim you? When there's something out of balance in your life, did you know He's going to try to deal with you about it? He's not just going to leave you until the weeds are this big and you just cry out, say, what is going on? No, He wants to work with you. But if you're not aware of that voice of pruning, if you're not aware of that voice of correction, that chair that the farmer, the gardener is producing in your life, you'll miss it all the time. You'll start blaming the enemy for the dealings of God sometimes that He brings into your life. I've had bosses that I actually called feral. When actually God had brought them into my life to teach me that I'm a rebellious little kid. To submit to somebody that I didn't necessarily agree with. It's easy to submit to somebody when you agree with them, but submission really works when you disagree with them. Have you found that? You guys are delightful. See, when Jesus walked this earth, He actually lived this scripture that I always quote, already quoted to you. I'm going to read it again. Psalm 119, the heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament shows His handiworks. Day unto day they utter speech, and night unto night they reveal all kinds of knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their limitations have gone out throughout the whole earth, and their words to the end of the earth. So in other words, God has got His fingerprints all over everything. You know, technology, entertainment, it's interesting, the Bible calls our enemy, Satan, the prince and power of the air. And sometimes when you listen to music, sometimes when you watch the entertainment, when you look at billboards, there's so much noise around you, and you actually would say, where is God, when He's all around you? But Jesus, when He was on the earth, he would come to Watertown, and He could talk to you about the snowbanks. He would tell you that the snow is only temporary. It's kind of like the Old Testament, where the sin comes in and the snow plows come through and they push back the snow. But the snow eventually has to be dealt with. And that's the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. He talked to you about a tree in the middle of winter that all the leaves are gone and it looks like the tree is dead, when actually inside of it there's all kinds of life germinating, especially a maple tree, as we hear in the North Country, that's going to be squeezed out and it's going to be made into a sweet sugar as it sits there in that dormant side. And He might even say to you, you know, there's some times in your life that a winter comes and it seems like I'm not doing anything. But I'm working something sweet in you. If you'll trust me through the winter season, if you'll trust me through the hot summer season, if you'll trust me through all the things in life, I'm everywhere and I'm in everything. Jesus saw his Father everywhere. Preaching, he looks up and he sees somebody sowing seeds in the ground, and all of a sudden he's got a sermon. In the middle of a storm, when the disciples were totally frightened and terrified, all of a sudden he's got a sermon. You know, Jesus said that my sheep hear my voice. They won't listen to a stranger. And his voice brings us into abundant life. The devil, he said, has come to kill you, to steal from you, and to destroy you. So I ask you right now, in the name of Jesus, whose voice are you listening to? Are you being brought into life right now, or are you so discouraged and so drawn back by the things that are happening? Maybe you're listening to the wrong voice. Could it be? I've done there. I've been a Christian. I've listened to the wrong voice, and I've seen the fruit of destroying, killing, destruction. The Lord's silencing that voice right now so you can hear what he's saying. He comes in and interrupts the program. So John 15, he says, Jesus says, I am. He's walking to the Garden of Gethsemane. He grabs the grapes and he says, I am the true vine. I'm not a wild vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, he cuts it, that it might bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, live in me, and let me abide in you and live in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Would you say much fruit? If you abide in him and he abides in you, your life will produce much fruit. How much fruit's on your vine? What is he even talking about? In him. In him. Are you in Christ today? Do you know about him but not know him? Have you had an encounter with God that's changed your life? If you haven't, don't be discouraged, because you're already in the birth canal. You're in the right place today. Push your neighbor and say, you're in the right place. You're going to start kicking. Amen? I love this little baby here this morning. I had a dream about a little girl last night, not a little boy, but you know, babies, when they start to grow inside you, they start to kick. I can't say this from personal experience, but I've heard about it. Amen? And so maybe you're here today and you know about God, but you haven't had what I would call an encounter with God, a life-changing moment where God has taken you across and you've been born again of the Spirit of God. I want to tell you that if you keep pressing Him, keep pressing Him, keep asking Him, one of these days you're going to wake up in a whole different kingdom. Can you say amen? Anybody waking up and I'll know a whole different kingdom since you met Jesus? There's only about 5 Christians in here. Is anybody so glad that they're saved today that Jesus has caused them to wake up? You once were lost and you had no idea where you're going. And God broke through all of that. Oh, man, goodness. I think about where I was and how blind I was and how lost I was, and I didn't even know it. And God sought me. Don't think that you have chosen me, Jesus said. I chose you. I chose you. You need to know that you're chosen, that God picked you. So he says, going on here, verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. But if you abide in me, in my words, would you say my words? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, because now your desires are becoming the desires of God, and it shall be done to you. By this, my Father is glorified. Would you like to glorify the Father? Yes. I mean, would you like to have your life literally when people come into contact with you? And but there's an anointing on a Christian that's different than anything that you'll see in this world. It's the anointing of life. Your words sometimes, when you speak them correctly, will never leave that person. In fact, at some point in their life, has anybody, when you got saved, did you ever remember what somebody said to you like 20 years ago?
Yes.
I'm still remembering things that brothers and sisters have said to me throughout the years because their words were filled with life. If you love me, you will be loved of my Father. And if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have abided in my Father's commandment and abide in his love. Where is that again now? What part of the Bible? John 15. Might be good for you to meditate, chew on that later on. John 15, verses 1 through 7. I've been married over 45 years now. How can a young man like me be married that long, right, honey? To the same woman. Her name's Joanne. She's been here before. Probably about 10 years ago, Joanne is extremely creative. She's great in the garden. She loves to put flowers. She loves to spend my money on all kinds of plants. But I remember we built a new house in 2016. But before that, we lived at another place just a mile away. And I remember walking out in the lawn one day in the middle of the summer, and I just looked around, and she calls them center spots, where she'll make a spot that's really beautiful, and from that other beauty will come out of. And so she built this thing, and she had me build it, but it was her idea. She had me build this, and she had me build this, and I stood there, and I realized I'm a dirt farmer from Beach Hill. If I didn't have this woman in my life would be so plain Jane. She has brought so much beauty into my life because of that, who she is. And that's what the Lord is saying. He actually says in Proverbs, there's much fruit. There's much blessing in the ground, in the fallow ground, the unprepared, unworked ground of the poor. That's you and I. We are poor without Christ, but he makes us rich in him. But right now, in Jesus' name, I pray that all of a sudden things would really begin to produce, that the fallow ground of your life, you'd begin to work with the Father and there'd be dust everywhere. There'd be weeds flying. There'd be all kinds of cultivation going on in your life because in you, in Christ, you are designed. God says, if God has designed, he's working with you. Can you work against God? He's working in you that you don't just produce fruit, but you produce much fruit. Say much fruit. Okay, so God is actually working. Maybe what's happened is you aren't aware of what he's trying to do. So you don't come to class. I was unconscious for 12 years in my education. Anybody else? I never paid attention. In fact, I found ways of not paying attention. But when I got up, when I got born again, I couldn't even read when I got out of school. But when I got born again, all of a sudden the whole world came alive to me. God wants you to interact with the gardener today. He wants you to embrace the fact that you are his garden and that he is the gardener keeper. And he knows exactly what to do to make you produce. There's some things that are going to get snipped today. There's some things that God wants to drag out of your life because they're dead and they're diseased, and he wants to take them aside and burn them. He's not rejecting you. He's rejecting that which is dead and diseased, because if you don't deal with those things, you will become dead and diseased. This is not about, hey, you straighten up or you're out of here. This is about, even when you don't produce fruit, I'm not going to give up on you. You know, one of the things that happened to the vine is it would crawl along the ground, a wild vine, a wild vine or a vine that doesn't have a gardener, it will crawl along the ground and it will get all dirty. When it rains, all the mud will get on it. But what the gardener does, remember what Jesus said, you are clean. You are clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. The Father comes along and he sees you crawling on the ground trying to produce, but you're all muddy and even the elements of storms are just beating on your life, and he picks you up and he washes you off and he ties you out of that place. I'm so glad that God hasn't given up on me, and I'm glad that God hasn't given up on you. You're going to produce fruit. Isaiah says, "For the Lord shall comfort Zion, and he will comfort all of her waste places." Just think for a minute, the picture of your life. God's showing you right now what you look like as a garden. Is there waste places? Overcome by your old habits. And he shall make your wilderness like the Garden of Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of song and melody will be in you. So God's saying, here's the picture as I find you. There's wilderness, there's desert, there's dry places, but thus says the Lord, I'm going to work in that wilderness. I'm going to work in that dry place. And you're going to become like the garden of the Lord. You're going to have a song in the night. You're going to have a melody in your life as you see the goodness of God in your life. There's such an invitation from God right now to walk with him in this life, and he would lift you up. 45 years I've been walking with him. When I first walked with him, I didn't understand. There's a word in Proverbs that says the enigmas of life, which means puzzling things. Has anybody ever been puzzled by what happens to you? I didn't understand them, and I don't understand them all, but I've been walking with him for 45 years. I've been reading this word for 45 years. I've been praying for 45 years. And day after day after day after day, as I talk with him, little things begin to make sense. And I begin to put things together even in my life where I'm starting to recognize I misinterpreted what God was trying to say then. Now I understand when trouble comes into my life. He's not bringing trouble. He's bringing opportunity. Did you know that you're ordained to destroy the works of darkness? When somebody comes at you with hate, you destroy his hate by the love of God. You don't return hate. There's a whole great opportunity that we misunderstand. The world responds like that. The world hates. It has teams. It has preferences. But not so with you. You are the children of light. You're bringing a new kingdom. You're walking with a king in this world, and God is bringing light into people's lives through you. You are ordained to be a flashlight, a light, a pillar. You didn't know that about yourself. The devil's been telling you you're worthless, that you're ineffective, that you're not producing anything. And Jesus says, no. You're misunderstanding the whole picture. I actually put you in that situation, and you're going to shine like a light. You're going to have victory. Sometimes a victory takes a day. Sometimes it takes a week. Sometimes it takes 40 years. Anybody still struggling with stuff that you still struggled with when you first got saved? Amen. Right here I am. Lord, help me. But more than ever before, I'm realizing God's trying to drag it out of my garden. You ever fight with the Lord? You never win. Talk to Jacob. He tried fighting with the Lord. He limped the rest of his life. So, looking at the garden, there's some things. What are the purposes of pruning in our life? Pruning is actually needed by God, but you cannot produce fruit unless there's things that are cut back. You cannot produce things that want to. What they do is they suck energy from your life, and that's part of the pruning. He sees one vine, and it's producing. And what does he do? He works with it. He cuts it back because he understands the nature of the vine. By cutting it back, it's actually going to produce more. And many times, you'll look at a vine and you'll see all kinds of leaves and stuff, but it's not producing anything. It's just taking up a lot of energy, making a lot of noise in your life, and he actually comes over and cuts that right off so that the vine that's producing will produce more and the vine that's not producing will begin to produce. He's talking about areas in your life. And so the first thing that we see in this analogy is diseased branches. If you've ever seen a diseased branch, what happens, some kind of injury happens, or some kind of bug comes, or some kind of disease comes, and it attaches itself to a branch, and it begins to drill a hole in it, and it begins to ooze, and it looks sickly, and bugs begin to get in there. That would be likened unto possibly someone that hurt you. Maybe you haven't forgiven that person. You know how you can tell if you haven't forgiven the person from your heart? You keep talking about it. You keep telling people how awful this person was to you. That's evidence that there's bitterness there, there's disease there. I can't do this, but God has done this about my sin. He says in Isaiah, I have forgotten your sin, Dan. I've cast it from me as far as the east is from the west. He can do that. But how I deal with forgiveness is I won't talk about it anymore. I'm not going to tell you about how rotten that person was to me. I still know it, but now it's in a secret place. Now it's between me and God. It's not between me and the person anymore. It's between me and God. And I keep it there. I won't share it with you. And that's a sign to me that it's getting deep into my heart. Have you been talking about your wound? Over and over, and it's the enigma. I don't understand, why would that person do that? They had no right to do that to me. And it could be a situation, you just don't feel like you've got a good shake. Maybe you're even mad at God, which is really kind of dumb, but it happens. You don't like what's happened in your life. So all of that has to be brought forth, and you have to look at it and saying, listen, that's a diseased branch in your life. You know what it is. You know what I'm talking about. And the gardener says, I'm going to cut that off. I want that to stop. So all of a sudden he puts the saw to it and does the action. And you know the thing about being pruned and the thing about being cut? It's not fun. You know, I don't know why we think Christianity is supposed to be fun. We're all supposed to be crucified with Christ, nailed to a cross. We're supposed to learn how to die. I mean, does that sound like fun? Okay, it produces great things in our life, but it's not fun to die. It's not fun to be cut. It's not fun to be pruned. But Jesus understood that for the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross because he knew beyond that death was resurrection life. Right now, could you in your heart renounce that thing? You know, the early church used to have something that members would say, I renounce the works of Satan in my life. Charles Finney said, you sin one sin at a time, you should confess one sin at a time. I thought he was overboard when he said that. But there's a power in actually bringing up situations that have hurt you so much, that were so sinful, that even your mind continues to fantasize and you recreate the sin over and over, where you actually say, I renounce that thing, Father. I don't make any excuses for it. That was sin. I did it. It was wrong. And I cut it off. And you break the power of the enemy. You destroy the works of darkness in your own life. Isn't this a great sermon? Then there's things that are dead. Dead branches. Now, I'm not going to tell you how old I am. I always do that stuff. But I have lived a little while. I have been a kid. I was a teenager. I was a young man. I got married. I had four kids. I raised four kids. I got 20 grandkids. I'm raising those. I went through different jobs. I pastored for 45 years, and I'm not pastoring anymore, and they want to put me out the pastor. No, they don't. All these different transitions that I'm going through, and you know what happens is, when there's a fruitful time in your life, I saw my wife go through this to a certain extent. I talked to her this morning. I think we're through it. The empty nest syndrome. I mean, moms and dads, but moms mostly, they pour their lives into their children. It's everything. And to a certain extent, they even forget about their husband. They just love their kids. And then all of a sudden, they leave. And I've seen moms that can't let go. I've seen them brokenhearted. I've seen them totally depressed going through that season. That season's over. 40-year-old guys. What do they call it? A midlife crisis. I don't know if I see anybody here, but you get a sports car. I wish I could have a sports car. They get a sports car, they get rings around their neck, they put earrings in their ears and in their nose, and they take special medicine so they can act like they're 20. Let it go, man. Come on. Why don't you grow up and be who you are? You can't live by living in the past. I want to tell you that your past is behind you, and wherever you are right now, begin to embrace it and stop being in sorrow and mourning. That which once was is possibly never going to be again. It's dead. That which was possibly extremely fruitful at one time, it's not that God is punishing you, it's over. You know, I used to dance all the time in the 20s in church. Now I lose my breath and almost have a heart attack. You know, I can't act like a 20-year-old anymore, and I think it's very shameful if I would try. I'm a man. I can't hear you, honey. That's one of the problems I have. Amen. Well, wherever you are right now, is there something that used to be that it breaks your heart that it's not anymore? Ecclesiastics says there's a time and a place and a season for everything and a purpose under heaven. What was the purpose? I'll tell you what, anything that this world would ever offer you, it's going to be better in that world. It's not that we just have pie in the sky mentality, but there's nothing worth holding on if it causes you to give energy to something that God has said that time is over. I know you like that one. I can tell by the way you responded. Then there's also things that hinder what God's trying to do. Good things sometimes, or bad things. I talked to you about beliefs. That unfruitful vines sometimes can be very plush and they can have a lot of leaves. But the problem is, right here is producing, and the leaves are over the top of it, and they're blocking the sun and the energy of the sun from hitting that area in your life. So there's things that you're doing, you're delighting in, but you know, and I know you know, this is causing your Christianity to get starved. And so Father comes in and says, listen, we got to cut that thing down. But I really enjoy that. I know, but it's blocking the light from your prayer life. It's blocking the light from your getting into the Word. It's blocking your light so that you don't have grace to forgive and to walk in these things. I want to cut it back so that the light can break through, and that which is already producing is going to produce more. And that which is not producing, I'm going to cause it to begin to produce. I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. I'm going to show you how to walk in this. And the whole idea of fruit is not necessarily, saints, bringing people to Christ. It's letting Christ live in you. That the world might see, boy, that person's different. There's something about what they said. Remember what Jesus said? If you abide in me, and my word abides in you. Does the Word have any difference in your life? In other words, when you read the Word and you study the Word, sometimes you don't understand. It's the enigma. But other times you do, but you just don't want to do that. So what is that? That's saying, Lord, I abide in you, but your Word has no consequences in my life. But he's saying, listen, if you abide in me and let my Word have consequences in your heart, you're going to produce fruit. In other words, you're going to change from being a self-centered person to a Christ-centered person. You're going to learn how to die and yet live. You're going to learn how to love the unlovable. Something's going to happen. The Word of God is going to explode in your life. And by this, Jesus said, when people look at your life, it's not that you do miracles. It's not that you are the hottest evangelist on the street. They just see the change, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Come on, help me preach. Come on. Then the last thing is, you know, when you cut down a tree, around the trunk of the tree, all these little splinters begin to grow. Or if you don't even cut down, a lot of times these little splinters, and they look like they're full of life, but you know what they're doing? They're sucking the life out of things. And so there's things right now, and I'll confess to you, I'm trying to get a hold of this new life that I have and get a balance between working in the marketplace and working in the ministry. But I'm finding that working in the marketplace is starting to suck a lot of life from me. So maybe there's things in your life that you do all the time, but it's actually taking energy from what you know the Lord wants to do in your life. Remember, we're looking at the picture of your garden. What does your garden look like? What would God want to drag out? What would God say is disease? What would God say is dead? What would you say is hindering? Father comes with his snippers and he says, can I? And you used to say, no, you cannot. And he's asking you today, can I work with you? Because if you'll let me take that which is lesser out of your life, you're going to produce fruit unto eternal life. Last thing I'm going to tell you is I'm going to ask you in a minute if you want prayer, and I'm going to ask you to stand where you are. So I'm preparing you now so you can start the argument. Catch that one? Anybody argue when God starts telling you to stand up? When I was about 4 or 5, my dad bought an electric fence. That was a long time ago. It was back when we just had AM radio. And when you would drive by a farm with an electric fence, it would come in on your radio. It just, you know, it would go, anybody ever remember that? Okay, back in the day. And so we were fascinated with this new toy, electric fence, you know, put it around and keep the cows in. And so my dad and my brothers were sitting around the fence and they were taking pieces of hay and they would lay it on the fence and you'd get just enough of a buzz that you could feel, you know, it tickled, you know. And so I'm over here and I pick up a piece of wire. And I said to my dad, will this work? And being a nurturing dad that he was, he said, sure, why don't you try it? And I put that on there and I can still feel the wiggle in my hand. It went right up my arm and I went wee, wee, wee right in the house. I mean, it really hurt. But what we learned about the electric fence was it would be around the garden. It would be around a certain border in our life. And trees would fall and hit that wire. And when they did, they start short-circuiting it. And it would take more and more of the power away from that thrust of electricity. Or the grass would start growing up, and because it wasn't tended, it would touch the wire and it start taking some energy to the point where you could grab a hold of the fence maybe back in the field 500 yards, and it wouldn't even. So maybe it's time for you as a Christian, says the Lord, to walk around the borders of your life. Walk around and see if there's something leaning up against the power of God in your life. And go with your Father, go for a walk, and have him begin to take those things out. Because I know that the inherent thing in you as a Christian is you want to walk in power, not for a show, but you want to receive the Holy Spirit that you might have power to be His witnesses. Oh, you guys need the power here. You're dealing with some of the cruddiest stuff in life. And God wants to demonstrate His glory and His power. But you got to understand, you got to cooperate with Him. So if you would like prayer this morning, I want you to stand where you are right now. Thank you, sister. I could point to some of you, but I won't do that. It's got to be a volunteer type thing. Now the rest of you, or maybe you that are around, would you there? Thank you, sister. Would you just lay your hands on one another? Because what we're talking about here is vine and branches thing. Vine and branches. You understand what I'm saying? I'm connected to the vine. Therefore, I have the nature of Jesus flowing through me to my brother when I lay hands on him. And that's what's happening right now. God is letting your energy, your anointing, your presence. Sister, I just really want to say to you that you have misunderstood a lot of stuff that's went on. And there's been a lot of enigmas. And God just wants to encourage you that He's with you and He's for you. The enemy's been trying to discourage you. God is, He's just shouting encouragement at you. It's not over. Amen? Praise God. Just let it flow. Just close your eyes where you are right now. Father, let our connection with Jesus be everything today. We confess, Lord, we can do nothing apart from you. So I'm praying, Lord, that energy would begin to flow, anointing would begin to flow. And, you know, one of the things that I learned about beech trees is they hold on to their life. Their dead leaves stay on the beech tree until spring, and what happens is new life literally pushes the death out. So I'm praying right now that new life would push death out. Help, Lord. Strengthen, Lord. This is a body. We had communion this morning, Lord. Strengthen this body in their vision for this town. Lord, make us a lighthouse, a salt house for this town. Lord, let it go into another generation, even better than this generation. Okay, now you can look up here. You know whose name we pray this in? Jesus, our Savior. Amen, and He will hear us. Amen. God bless you guys. Amen. Whew.